Sacramento on January the 7th. Dale Moody talking with Roy Simpson, Dr. Roy Simpson, Superintendent of Public Instruction in California from 1945 into the early 1960s.
Acting as president of the university.
Yeah. I think that they were good friends.
He was interested in I know him.
I think he was good friends. Well, I was just wondering there. I'd just wondering when you knew McPhee, when you first...
Oh, well, of course, he was... I knew him when he was in... when I was in the school before at the Anderson Center College.
Yeah.
And he was then interested in agriculture. Members of his department, I remember, since we were in an agricultural area, were helpful to us up in that Anderson area. At that time, too, I think, what was the name of the fellow who later went to work for the milk company that was one of the assistants in there?
The Dairy Council, you mean?
He came up and dedicated our ag building for us.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. I'm not sure who that would have been.
But anyway,
right.
To answer your question,
yeah.
I was familiar with McPhee and the work that was going on, even as early as when I went into the work at Anderson Center. I've been...
That's about when.
I've been writing some interesting stuff myself.
Oh, is that right? I read up on you in the Cloud book. You know, Cloud wrote this book on the history of education in California. He was CPA.
That's right.
He wrote that book, and I was reading a little bit of your history there, too.
Yeah. Well, you have all that.
Some of that, yeah. Some of that.
Yeah. Well,
you're
not writing about me now. This is my story. I mean,
I
the position that
yeah.
we held.
I see.
But I don't... That if there's no great consequence to you.
I can look at that a little bit later here. And
it shows that I went into the Anderson High School in 1915.
Yeah.
And then I went into the, I went into the enlisted ordnance corps in 17 and then returned as principal of the high school in 19.
And you knew McPhee back? Not that early though.
Oh, I knew it too.
When
did he go into Cal Poly?
He went to Cal Poly, 31, Bureau took it over.
You know, he was...
He went to Sacramento in 26, 27.
Well, then I was at Anderson High School. I left the Anderson High School in 27 to go to Pomona.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an all probability. McPhee was there at the time.
Yeah. 1925, he came to Sacramento to help a man by the name of Werner, Richard J. Werner.
Werner is
Werner.
The fellow that
yeah.
came up and
yeah.
dedicated our
yeah.
building for us.
Yeah. Werner brought him September 25, and then Werner became the new Commissioner for Secondary Education for 2 years,
yeah.
and then that was wiped
yeah.
out.
Yeah, well, and then
so that's it.
Dick Werner.
That's it. I saw him, Santa Cruz. Yeah.
Now, he was a representative for the milk house.
Yeah.
Some of this is extraneous, isn't it?
Yeah, just that's
get,
all right.
Get this background
that's right.
Together.
I like
that's
to
all.
Keep
that's
it
what
together.
I need to do that. Well, in other words, I think I'm correct in saying that I've known him from the first time I ever got going in the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. Well, of course, in answer to your number two here, we must admit that Ewan McPhee was a super politician in spite of educational work was concerned. He was he planned very, very carefully to see that people in authority were familiar with the program he had there. And he invited us to come frequently. And of course, I had one of my youngest son was graduated from Cal Poly. in the animal husbandry field. So, of course, all of this combined kept me in sympathy with the program. As you know, I was appointed to take over when Walter Dexter passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, I made frequent trips to Cal Poly. And next week came off into Sacramento.
Yeah. I think through his old contacts with the FFA and all of this, he kept in strong contact with legislators and...
Yes, he did all of that type.
And I think it primarily was in the Senate, too, that he had more direct contact and strength than our new senators there and the House people. I don't know about that, but I just wondered.
He had entree to all of these
both
people.
Yes,
and he made it his business to follow through the many little courtesies that could not be considered in any sense bribery or any of that type of thing were extended. He had the Lieutenant Governor's son Powers, I think, was a student down there. And he had other other relatives of many of us. And wherever that occurred, of course, he kept in touch with the with those people, which was to his advantage and to our advantage, too. Let's see. Well, the third question. Julian at the beginning or at any time was I don't know if I should use the word defensive or not. At the beginning, of course, as you probably have already recorded, it was an uphill job for him to bring the school into a certain status. And he did that. He did everything to protect that interest. Cal Poly really was his life. That's where he lived, and of course that's where he passed away too. I think one of the tragedies he had, if I dare to hazard a guess, was the fact that he. The time came when he had to give up. I worked with him when I came into office. He was just director of vocational education. He was president of he was in charge of Cal Poly. He had other ambitions too. It was difficult for McPhee to sever his connection with any of these interests. You may have picked that up along the line someplace.
Now, Wes Smith said that...
It took considerable diplomacy to move him out of this responsibility in the overall vocational program. In other words, the time came when he was beginning to spread himself a little thin. You can't do that. So we moved him into the, with his consent, of course. it takes a little doing. He gave that job up. Also, the State Department was at one time was called the Board of Vocational Education, I believe.
The commission.
Yeah.
And the state board was the board.
What I'm doing in talking here with some others, I'm refreshing my mind a
little. Right, yeah, no, which, that's all right. Go right ahead.
Which have slipped by.
Nobody.
Really?
That's right. And I understand this. Yeah. Nobody knows the story, really. It just takes a set of searching and feeling. A lot of the old records I can go through,
That board's commission was out of existence, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And
Now you said, you mentioned, you said he had other ambitions.
Well,
what do you mean? Was he,
by that, I think he had ambitions for the college to retain the status in the field of vocations that he wanted to have, that he had uppermost in his mind. Of course, before he was finished, it had to change from a sort of male university or college to a co-educational. That was something which had to come, but I think it took a good many, quite a few years in order to bring that about. He really, he saw the direction in which things were moving, and he had to meet that move. In the meantime, of course, we had secured this gift from Voorhees, that little unit down there, and then he and I were the ones who secured the Kellogg unit. We made our trip to Chicago and saw the attorneys for the Kellogg Foundation. And you may not put in your record, but as a matter of fact, the university had welched on its agreement. They had the Kellogg unit first. I mean, the Kellogg unit first. And then the Army came along with a remount. You know, Mac may have told you all this, I'm not sure.
No.
It was a remount station at Horsley, and that type of thing. And after the war, it was declared surplus. So it took an act of Congress to give that, with the consent of the Kellogg people, to the state of California. And McPhee and I were the instruments, the individuals through which that came about, and we got the agreement from the legislature, which he did, because as I say, he understood this channel of communication. We made certain agreements, we secured certain monies from the legislature. We carried out the agreements to the degree where we now have complete control of that area down there, and there's a separate unit, but it was under his control for quite some time. All we have to do now is to have an Arabian horse show and raise a few Arabian horses, but the rest of the show the rest of the program all belongs to the state of California. All that came about by the fact that our contact with Dr. Emory Morris, who was the executive for the Kellogg Foundation.
Emory Morris?
Emory Morris.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact also that we knew the chief executive who worked with us here in California with agricultural programs with Kellogg money at Fresno and various places, which Mac may have told you about. But anyway, that was quite an accomplishment, getting that area, because we now have acres down there, the whole thing belongs to the state of California.
Now, I noticed
that has to fit into your program.
Oh, yeah. Right. I noticed this act of Congress to get this, and I wasn't just sure what the whole story was on that. But, thank you.
Well, let's see. I don't think I answered your third question.
The
university getting recognition and acceptance even at the California. I'll tell you.
I'd understood that being a vocational school, there was some, it was sort of wild before he worked into the favor of other college presidents.
part of the fight goes on today, you see.
Yeah.
The university doesn't want the state colleges to grant the doctor's degree.
Right.
And especially the PhD. And they finally reached a stage where they did consent with certain, carrying out certain features that if the university and the state college would agree on that situation, that they might grant it to the university. Well, the fight's still going on. But when it comes to the bachelor's degree, I think there that well, of course, let's put it this way. There was some rivalry, no doubt, between Davis and Cal Poly. Davis, as you know, has grown into a rather liberal arts college now, and they have been doing a beautiful job there. But it's of a status that is different, and I hope always will be different, from the thing that's being carried on at Cal Poly. His philosophy of learning by doing has been successful. Whether it will continue to be successful, I don't know. I had a meeting the other, had an opportunity the other day with the Cal Poly alumni at a dinner here, and I met the new president. Of course, I knew Bob Kennedy for a long time. Things may change, but to answer your question, It was an uphill job mm-hmm. to get that degree granted,
mm-hmm.
but it was established and carries on now.
Yeah.
From 44 to 48, McPhee was your state right there, I guess,
man by the name Beswick died, you know, and he came in 44 before you became superintendent.
Yeah, you see, I was
He came in about late 45.
He came 45.
Yeah.
November 45.
Yeah, I mean, these vocational areas, in trades and industries, home economics, et cetera, as Smith put it, sort of operated quite independently of one another.
Yeah.
And McPhee was the first, quote, state director of vocational education, sort of was supposed to try and coordinate the efforts of all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, of course, is sort of one, just this effort in itself is probably one of the bigger things that will stand out in my chapter. I didn't know if you could think of anything particularly that ought to be mentioned during his years as state director at all. You said he spread himself pretty thin, and Smith, of course, points out that he didn't have time to do much of it. He had him doing most of the work, and
he was a man of great energies.
Yeah.
He was a man who controlled his faculty, his assistants, his personnel absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what he wanted. At least he thought he knew what he wanted.
Yeah.
And everything went in that direction. There was no deviating. If anyone got out of line, I think they either got in line or they got out.
Yeah.
You see? And if that had not been the situation, I don't think he would have moved quite so rapidly as he did move. Now, don't misunderstand me. What he was after was not wrong.
Yeah.
It was a philosophy which he had, and he was willing to sacrifice to get that point of view across, and he did get it across. He has gotten it across. And it's gained not only here in California, but I think it gained nationwide, too, because he was good at presenting his case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I had every respect for the fellow man, and worked with him even when it came to the point where we were getting the master plan.
Yeah.
He had suspicions and doubts about it, and I think some of us did too, but then he was willing to cooperate and work with us.
Yeah.
So, to answer your question, You already know the areas that he was interested in, and I think he...
There's no doubt that he's a major advocate of vocational education.
Yeah.
I didn't know who else could compete with him. Lee Edwin Reed at the university was a major man in the state, but McPhee, over a long period of time and all his speaking and programs, I'm taking this theme, a major advocate of vocational education.
He was graduated from Davis, I believe.
California, right. He was at Davis for a while.
So he had some concept of what they were doing at that time. And he saw the opportunity to improve on that idea, that philosophy, shall we say, on a less research level. I think that...
more practical level.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. How was the relationship between the two and the Governor Warren? Did they know each other well? Did Warren support them? Well, I, so far as I know, the relationship was excellent. Of course, Warren picked me out of a South Side of Ben and brought me up here. And one thing about Governor Warren, as far as I was concerned, he put people in the place where he felt they could do the job, and then he left them alone. He didn't play politics. At least he didn't with our department, unlike some of his some of the governors since then. I'm not going to mention any special names, but it's pretty evident of what some of them have been doing as far as education is concerned and throwing it into politics, both partisan and other kind. So I think they got along very well.
They were good friends, I take it.
Governor Warren, although he was at Louisiana University and quite close with Bob Sproul, the president, he still saw the field as in state colleges. It was during his time, they say, that we received more money to move ahead in education generally. And while the university has always had a little of the edge financially on the basis of their higher costs, I still think that during the Warren administration we did pretty well. As far as I was concerned, it was the best government we've had for a long time. Well, many people comment on the political part of it in the school,
I don't know if it's in that question or not, but a lot of people said that as an educational lobbyist, he just couldn't be topped. I didn't know if you'd agree with that or not. Other people said he's just really an excellent lobbyist.
He understood his way around, and he and more lobbyists from the University of California, retired now, whom I know very well. But
I have the name. I can't remember either. I know who you mean.
Those two fellows used to clash. Of course, I served as a member of the region, so that I knew what they were doing pretty well, because it wasn't a mistake.
They really couldn't put too much over. That's right.
Without us knowing what they were doing.
Yeah.
Why the name slipped you temporarily? I'll think of it before we get through. Anyway, to answer your question, he did very well. You're correct in the Senate. And it may be too, because Lieutenant Governor Powers has a son down there, because I ran into him a time or two when I was down there, Lieutenant Governor, I mean. And they do represent the agricultural areas mostly.
Yeah.
A lot of people said about the struggle of battle at the university over the years and amazing.
Yeah, we talked about that, I guess.
Yeah.
I knew the old problem went clear back to see the 4-H and the future farmers differences, and then the degree problem, and so on. You touched on that.
Let's see. we received money at the state level for agricultural programs in the schools, in high school especially, and for homemaking programs. And
Smith used funds.
And we had what we call the California plan for these fields and the distribution of funds. I think we were pretty successful in maintaining pretty good independence in our operation. There's always been the feeling, and there still is the feeling, that with money goes control. Well, that may be true, but our staff here, McPhee and Wes Smith and these other people, knew the personnel in Washington, D.C., and I think we worked it out pretty well to do the things we felt were best for California, as against being dictated to.
Yeah.
So I think that that would be one of the answers. Now, so far as the struggle of the battle with the university, well, that's pretty evident.
Yeah.
Schools, both the higher education areas are in for the money, all the money they can get to support themselves. And with that, there will always be some questions. For example, the present budget shows, you see, that it's being submitted by the present governor, a discrepancy of some millions of dollars between the two.
Sunday's paper had quite a deal at times.
this will continue.
Oh,
yeah. Actually, if at the beginning, which it's too late to talk about it, but we came up with thinking about it. If we had made the structure at the beginning of our concept of higher education so that we had the university and the state college of higher education under one board, it's conceivable that they both might be better off. Now there'll be those who would argue against that. That has nothing to do with your dissertation, but that condition will not occur. It's too late for that. The master plan was a concept, part of which we were able to get through the legislature, but with Senator George Miller meeting with our committee, as he did constantly, and with the antagonism that exists, and always has existed, between the regents and the legislature, insofar as authority is concerned, Miller was able to block any attempt that would put the school, the high school trust, or the college trustees in some of the same relationship that the Board of Regents had.
Mm-hmm.
And also, prior to that time, of course, there was this whole area where the state board, where Strayer report came in for education in general, placing the state board of education in the relationship of appointing the superintendent of public instruction. Now, if you check the history of this, you'll find out that President Brown went along with that recommendation, and he got particular hell. You don't put this in.
Yeah.
Particular hell from the governor and others because he did support it, because that's not a popular concept, especially with labor and some other people who feel that the superintendent is one of the few areas where they have a voice in what education is going to be or not going to be. But that idea is rapidly changing now because there's new witness the fact that the office no longer has many of the responsibilities that it had when I was in there, for example. It's down now where it only has charge of high school and elementary and high school,
yeah,
with a superintendent on board, but with little or no effect. People forget that, but all they do is not a lot of talk. But in those earlier days, there's lots of responsibility. My job at that time, I appointed all the presidents, with the exception of McPhee. McPhee's the only one who was already there and stayed there, you see. But, and they more than doubled during my administration. Mm-hmm. And the State Board had no jurisdiction in initiating the appointment of any president. If the Director of Education, as it was called then, didn't initiate it, the board could just sit by with its hands folded. But after he once initiated an appointment, they had an opportunity to accept or reject, or confirm.
Mm-hmm.
So that situation changed. So the next was the most important advocate of the case of education state.
And we mentioned that.
I think we've answered that.
Right.
Danny Quinn is going to call my friend on Danny. Well, Berkman, Siemens, and Russia. You never saw Berkman, did you? Berkman's not well.
Yeah, I understand.
He's based in Los Caras or somewhere.
Los Altos.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah, somewhere down there. He would be somewhat of a negative. I don't know what he is now since he's been so ill, but he was a disappointed man. I think he wanted to take 15 times. Not just my guess. It always puts me with whomever was in charge. We got along pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's something else. McPhee was a voice who sometimes objected strenuously in our president's meetings. Well, I think I recognized him for his sincerity and the desires he had for Cal Poly. Well, it's the same story.
Yeah.
You get all the way along the line. He had a job to do, he believed in it, and that's the way he acted. Now, so far as Berkman's concerned, what about Seaman? I don't know about Seaman.
No, that's
how they happened to get him in there.
Now, Seaman was...
This is Seaman.
Right.
Yeah,
he's now over at Foothill.
Yeah, he's down at the junior college.
Foothill.
Oh, yeah.
He was then there with...
He was on our staff. What position did he hold before he went?
He sort of did the research and studies for the man who had charge of the higher education under you.
Douglas.
Yeah, Fache and Douglas.
Dr. Douglas, just who passed away in office.
Mm-hmm.
And he was my, Dr. Douglas was a man who, under whom I did my master's degree work.
Yeah, I just wondered, you know, if the gentleman basically got along with, or just understood what McPhee was trying to do.
Oh, I don't think there was anything but just a
normal
function. I don't think there were any major differences that you want to write about particularly.
No.
I see your man McDaniel, that you're writing for, was also in the department of McPhee.
He went to Stanford early 50s or late 40s sometime in there.
Yeah, he was there for a while, I remember.
Yeah. He's retiring this year. Just retiring this year.
Oh, is he?
Just retiring.
Uh-huh.
Fine, Phil.
Well, that's about time.
Yeah.
He must be on all the same rest of it.
Yeah.
Oh, just how unique was the curriculum and program at Cal Poly when compared with other state colleges? Well, of course, when it started, it was unique. It has gradually grown into a as you know, they took on a teacher training program and they're taking on coeducational and
master's work now.
Master's work. They do have a school of architecture, which the others do not have. They had some, whether you still have the aircraft or not.
Little, not much. Aeronautical engineering. That's part of engineering.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering, it was, this upside down and practical approach was sort of a unique thing through the 40s,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the other state colleges weren't. Edwards, he was proud of the fact, as I take it, don't let me put words in your mouth, but proud that they were vocationally, directly
yeah.
orientated.
Yeah.
This is what he wanted Cal Poly producing, a man who could go out and get a job and hold it and
yeah.
dealing with the middle level students.
These youngsters had their own projects, and
mm-hmm.
some of them paid, some of them invested a while.
Mm-hmm.
My son, I remember, had a project in Kappa. They took him to the shows and
mm-hmm.
San Francisco, another place.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you say South San Francisco.
Yeah, South San Francisco,
yeah.
Stock shows.
Yeah. So it was well known. Well recognized. Now, for example, it still is. I talked to a young fellow here in town. He's one of four boys. His brother is now a student down there. And the boy himself was thinking about going down there in the field of agriculture. I don't mean in the field of architecture.
Yeah.
And you see what the board did when it had some control over this. They were always moving around and trying to save the duplication of work in all of the state college. In other words, they thought that X school might be particularly good in developing a particular phase of education, and that people should move in that direction and attend there, rather than to have the, as we now have up at Humboldt, of course, we have the Fish and Game Wildlife up there. Now, we don't want all the colleges having wildlife, they couldn't do it. That was the direction in which the board was trying to move. But there was some duplication, and I suspect it still is. But some of the theory of operating the state colleges is comparable to that of the junior colleges, or city colleges, as we want to call them now, bringing the program in there to the people. Saving them the cost of operation. So to answer your question, I think that there were these unique areas in the curriculum that were restricted to Cal Poly. What do you have with the State Board of Education? Do you work through you or oftentimes they think, oh no, McPhee understood the line approach. If there were issues that should go to the board, which he and I may have talked about, or members of our staff may have discussed it, I had a cabinet
yeah.
meeting. And I always follow the pattern of inviting the individuals of their particular interest to come before the board and talk to the board directly, just as I had Wes Smith come in
mm-hmm.
subsequent to that.
Rather
than to try to carry the message through me to the board, we gave them the opportunity to become acquainted with the board, and the board asked questions. My idea is to recognize the leadership that has been appointed in these different divisions, rather than to try to be the big eye and make your own impression. I guess that's why I stayed there longer than the other state superintendent. But I have never felt that you should usurp and take unto yourself the credit of the work that has been done by somebody else. And you recognized in McPhee that kind of leadership in this particular area. So there was no friction, so far as I know, between
Yeah, well, that's interesting just to understand how he did, you know, it's just an interesting footnote.
Thing. Yeah. They were doing his 50s when they met the country. Well, I've always told you.
Well,
yeah. I've already told you that.
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
He did. You see, as I said a while ago, this would change the relationship between him, the board, and the personnel under him. It's been demonstrated that you find our faculties now, they're running in all directions.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my book, they're asking for authority and the assumption of responsibility over which they have no concept. About which they have no concept. They just aren't trained in it. And if they went in the direction to which some of them are talking about, we'd have one terrible mess. I think he was apprehensive. And the bigger you get, the larger your institution and your group, the more difficult it is to handle the program that you want to carry through. We had a little bit of this developing before I went out of office. I tried to head up everything in the state colleges through my associate in charge of state colleges. I did a pretty good job at it. We worked with the presidents.
Well, that's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that the pattern soon changed.
Mm-hmm.
That was safe apprehension, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They resisted many of the trends that were taking place in the state college, for example, vast degrees of church tenure and so forth. Yes.
He's
bouncing up something. And I think he's the only state college. I guess I might have asked, but I think he's about the only state college that was able to maintain the relationship distinctive of his own faculty and his people. I think that the others had their problems. Most of them have changed now. I think there's only one person left that I appointed. I think that's Mac down at Long Beach. No, Seaman's up at Arcata. Those two that remain, the others have all retired, dropped out. But
Malcolm Love, you didn't
know. Oh yeah, Malcolm Love. Oh yeah, yeah, Malcolm. He's in football troubles now, I guess. too many winning games. But I guess he got that over from Nevada when he was up there. Just those three. Don't misunderstand me. Those men have done a superb job, and they are doing a good job. But my key to all of this. There was a little inclination, a little developing, and I think in my brief conference, which isn't supposed to be reported, in my brief conference I had with Bob Kennedy the other night, that I'm not so sure whether we can keep that system going or not that way. I'm not sure whether it's good under the present concept of how staff should work or not. You can take them into conference with you and discuss some of these issues with you and about them and others. I never did feel that a case where you yourself should dominate all of this. I think that you can. I don't think that anybody's so smart that he knows all the answers. so clever and so intelligent. Oh, let's see, what was my piece fooling about going under the new border curve? Well, I've answered
that. Yeah, yeah.
Remembering the big power play to save the town, maybe that.
It's 1950.
Yeah.
Kennedy gave me a little bit detail on that, you know, how he just insisted that that should be there, and I was just wondering if, you know, how necessary he thought maybe it was. He felt that, you know, the boards would come and go, and I didn't know if you remembered much about that paper episode or not.
Yeah. I would say that whether I consider it contradictory. In general, we've talked about that all the way along.
Yeah. I didn't know if there's any.
Yeah, he's asked about Bennett.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, if you would help in my re-election campaigns, I think the relationship between me and my staff and the food journal, it was, would turn me to office, what was it, four times.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to have some support.
Yeah.
The first thing I did was to have a point, have an opposition from a fellow named Anderson, Dewey Anderson, that he and I were battling about. That was less than a year after I went into office. And he was a ardent Democrat and formerly had worked for the Director of Finance. But I was just a neophyte.
Yeah.
But that worked out. And I think from that point on, it was just a matter of keeping a note of things, so to speak. Doing the best job, not talking too much about it. Not being ambitious by any other office. And so far as numbers are concerned, the increase in numbers, as far as voters are concerned, is measured proportionately to the increase in population. So, have to consider that too. Let's see. Well, the answer not only McPhee supported me, but I think I had the support of McPhee in general. But we had opposition each time. The only time that vocational people were upset was when some fellow from Bakersfield ran against me. He was an ag man, I believe. He passed away, I think, a younger fellow too. But our boys in the office, they couldn't talk him out of it. That's the only time.
Mm-hmm.
So they turned the vocational in our direction. Oh, of course McPhee was known nationally, I've indicated that.
Yeah.
Is it true that his students were among the best when he came?
Their placement, they're pretty successful in student placement.
This alumni group we had here the other night, there was over 80 of them there. And there are men and women, and well along and pretty. That's indicative of the kind of support we get. The local president is the man who runs the crossroads out here. He's a big man. And they were holding his reunion. That was a pattern that McPhee set up. It's the first time, however, that I was ever invited to go to one of the alumni meetings. But they do a good job. You see, Kennedy has been there all through McPhee's administration. Well,
since 40,
or practically the whole thing about Kennedy. Yeah, so he's familiar with the techniques that were used. I wanted to go down, and I didn't have a visit with him. They program went on until after 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, I was just too dark on time to stand around and talk to someone.
Yeah.
But
Well, I think in the CU's many ways, Bill supports the program, the alumni and so forth. He's very good at that.
No matter how good a program is, because I've held different jobs and succeeded different people, no matter how good the program is, it'll never be the same, and you're not going to be, you have to adjust to the time in which you assume the administration, and in accordance with what seems best in your philosophy and your thinking. It's a mistake to try to imitate something that's been going on. Can I make that clear?
Yeah.
The imitation is going to be an imitation at best. You can't put into your mind the thing that was there with the other problem. So you embrace what you can, but the other things have to respect your own personality and your own interests. So whatever change takes place, and changes will take place, and changes must take place, I hope will be somewhat consistent with the things that we, I say we, had ambitions for that type of education.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. During the 50s and so forth, I think it's quite all acceptable for the president to work with the legislators for his own particular college. Or were they supposed to go through your office? Or was it a combination of both?
They did work. There's only one president who worked without our knowledge. We had knowledge of the president working because you can't hide it, it's wide open. But one president did, in a sense, double-cross, so to speak. The other boys in his ambition, he was using local, his relationship with his local legislators to accomplish his end. That man didn't stay with us very long, and he's retired now, but he played, because it was about naming names.
Yeah.
But there was only one case, the one instance where he alienated his own relationship with his president and with the rest of us. We had to call him to time, but one of those super ambitious fellows that didn't play the game properly.
That's
the only one I know about.
But it was only the presidents did realize that they were all working.
The presidents knew. Yes, you see, we had a president's council.
Council, right.
And with my associate, sometimes I met with him. Oh, there might have been telephone calls related, and nobody knows exactly. But in general, I would say we had splendid cooperation because. After all, who appoints you? And there is that loyalty that if you've got enough sense of loyalty in your makeup, you're going to work the best way you can with the individuals who are interested in you and your program. So I had no worries about any except this one fellow, and he didn't stay very long with us. Take too long, but then it upset the apple cart. Now, let's see. What would you say is basic class in social and education, like what you talked about?
Yeah.
If you're interested in promoting higher education generally, well, I think so. So long as it didn't interfere with his program at Cal Poly.
I think he worked with some junior college, had some meetings with junior colleges around the state. You probably don't remember it, but in the 40s and 50s, they were working on some junior college study, and he was the chairman of this study to promote junior colleges. I didn't know how involved he was. Let me put this way, the question is, how involved he was how interested he was in really getting vocational education put in other institutions and in junior colleges, or whether Cal Poly was...
Well, the concept, you know, the concept of the junior colleges originally was to take care of these vocations and business and whatever. Now, they have the same trouble with the junior colleges that the state colleges have had in relation to the university. That is, they want to get in each other's field. They think there's certain status here, and the junior colleges boys and girls are the same way. I mean, the faculty. And today, what do we have? We have a multiplication of board members. We have the university, we have the state college trustees, and now we have a kind of an overall commissioners or trustees for the city colleges, the junior colleges, with their own local board. So we've made a mess, as I see it. No individual member of a board of trustees, whatever your name is going to be satisfied to just sit there and not have some kind of an accomplishment as he or she may see it. And then there'll be the intense struggle for dollars. This man we brought up from Los Angeles, who's running our district city college, junior college program here.
I don't
Anyway, he's I haven't seen him since he came here. I voted for Ivanzo. Doing a pretty good job, too. After he got his predecessor out of here and sent back to St. Louis or somewhere in Missouri, there was constant friction with him on the board. This man's doing pretty well. But he now getting those $2 to go ahead with this building expansion.
Well, I didn't know if I had taken it, but he was interested in having vocational education, developing in junior colleges. He's got a good speech, too, where he's complaining, you know, that they're not doing what they ought to be doing. And I was just wondering if you knew whether this was a genuine feeling about it, or whether if you thought there was too much vocational education, Cal Poly wouldn't have enough of the pie, so to speak.
Well, as I tried to say before, maybe I didn't say it so many words. I think that he was jealous of everything that related to any of the interests of Cal Poly, with the fear that maybe somebody would take some of that away, you see. Well, my goodness, he didn't need to be that way. And I think eventually he became conscious of the fact that he had more than he could take care of without worrying about what some of these other fellows wanted to do. Goodness, the university, the college down there has grown. We gave money for it, building buildings, and of course he had Kellogg Warriors in his program also. Trying to carry on both those institutions, and physically, I guess physically by material growth, buildings and so forth, it's been tremendous. One of my jobs sometimes was to try to point out the man that he didn't need to worry about some of these things. We weren't going to let anything get away from us, and we didn't. You're correct in whatever anybody tells you, probably. That was just life, as I said earlier, and everything pointed in that direction.
Yeah.
He gave his interest, he had his barbecues, he had his...
Cal Poly or Poly Royal,
all these alumni groups, everything. Everything is correct. He had money from his from sources there that enabled him to do some things, perhaps, that some of the other college presidents couldn't do. He's tied into the racetrack business, you see, and horse breeding and all that. So that, and I guess they still are. Mm-hmm. A bit can come from that. The money to do certain entertaining. And our relationship, as I mentioned a while ago, with the Kellogg Foundation was set that. Remember, we had dinner a time or two with Mr. Dr. Morris at the Statter Hotel in Los Angeles and visited in Battle Creek, Michigan. And industry and these various associations are willing to make certain contributions to promote the programs which they feel are being developed, yeah, which they thought were being developed. Mm-hmm. So he had that, mm-hmm, he had that source of supply.
I suppose through you, national vocational people would like to have had support on various bills and the like. Did that come through you, or did McPhee just try to help them directly? Did they call him? Because I think he did give support to national legislation for vocational education from time to time.
Well,
he was willing to help whenever he could, is that right?
He, if I understand your question correctly, he always desired to get all the support he could back at any national interest. Mm-hmm. Got the State Board of Education and all the rest of us to communicate with the influential congressmen, platoon senators too. You see, he had to bring before the board any California plan for operation. And that had to come to me and my cabin before that was okay. Any changes that were made, additions. So we had an opportunity to agree or disagree. I don't know if I don't think he made any mistakes. And as I look at it, the record is this one-man record of his is something unique, I would say, in our history of education. He's, you don't find any of you in my food, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I don't want to take up more of your time here.
The second thing to you is something out of memory.
Yeah.
And,
You see, I have a lot of the facts, dates. I can check a lot of dates.
Well, you may have a lot of this from some of these other sources.
But it's just nice to hear sort of from on the inside, you know, how he was viewed and how he operated.
You forget many of these things. I'll probably think of things after you're gone that haven't occurred to me for a long time.
Yeah.
Just like I'm trying to write up a biography of myself or my kids. I just got that idea the other day. And starting out with my early childhood and going through.
Yeah, all that is.
And you, as I think about it, many things. I have in my garage, for example, boxes of material relating to the state college developments and some other things in the department. Now, when Glenn Dumke was the president of San Francisco State, he had a man who was going to work either for his master's or might be a doctor's dissertation. I don't know how it's going to work out. But anyway, the fellow blew up. He came to see me just once. And there's nobody that I know of at the present time who's trying to get that story together. And I have all that material. I offered to get it to Sacramento State when Guy West was here, because he's back in Texas now. There's apparently no one in the graduate area that is interested in getting that. See, there are spots Sumpke himself was a historian. He's written a little bit about that. But what you need, there's no place where you get this whole story together and how we started out. But development, we increased over 100% during my administration.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I thought the same thing. This is the end of this whole book.
There isn't any better source that's contained in those records that I have in my garage. What I should do, I presume, is to go through and not put the folders together that have this or that, and, you know, so they don't get at it.
Hard to
do? At the time.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows the story any better than my man was right in the middle of it. Much to the master plan, too, you see, in the board. And the board members, those who really know the situation, are no longer living. So that is no special thing to you. You've got a job here, and I think it's a person to write about a fellow who has done so much. And that's picture.
And his colorful personality, too. I won't be putting a lot of his personality into there. I mean, I will some, but I would like to. Wish I had the time to go around and get the stories just that people know about him.
Have you seen Dumpke already?
Last week. Wednesday.
Yeah.
And
well, of course, he might be a little more diplomatic in some of the things he says because he's still over the top job. But he wasn't there. He wasn't there too long a time. He was on a presidency, and then you see, he came in as chancellor about the time that McPhee was being won over to some of these other things. So that different.
Yeah. I knew that thing in his favor that he saw that.
Yeah, it's very good.
But in a sense, he was the university's voice in the state college system these last few years. And I think he felt more isolated and uncomfortable.
I recall very distinctly the executive secretary of the American Association of School Administrators, who was formerly the Commissioner of Education for the state of Connecticut. When I was still in office and meeting with some of those fellows and on different times in the East. They still don't know that California exists, some of those people. And they still don't look at the membership, and outside of two or three individuals, they don't do much getting representation about it, but that's something else. This man felt, that when the master plan went through, that would be the death knell for the state colleges. I mean, that was the way they looked at it at that time. But I don't think that's true.
You mean by that they were frozen into a position that they,
But it isn't true because each one is building up his own alumni and is putting in these different people of influence, politically and otherwise. Whereas the University of California had the edge on everybody, and membership in the legislature, that time is somewhat disappearing. We're getting in the last election, we got in two school administrators. We got in one from San Jose and the other fellow from the Contra Costa County. Those are men who retired and have been elected in office. And there are other schoolmen getting in there that say, well, they may or may not be sympathetic. They'd be more sympathetic to the kind of operations that they themselves knew best. And as this is going to develop, I have an idea that the university will lose some of its political influence. Mm-hmm. Of course, its present administration.
Yeah.